You're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by onlysupernews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by onlysupernews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening, and a warm welcome to week 12 of the Lambs Media weekly quarantine podcast after what has already been a very, very busy week, and it's only Tuesday. And trust me, there's still more to come. I'm your host, Harry Hanslow, for this evening's show, and I hope that everyone is well and staying safe. The idea behind these podcasts, then, is to bring new content, including interviews, questions to the fans, and to raise awareness of all the competitions, challenges and content which can be found over this period. Coming up in the next half an hour on this evening's shortened episode, ex-player Ian Bennett will be joining us, and General Manager Rich Wattleby will be speaking about this week's news and some information from the management as confirmed this morning later tonight. As always, throughout the show, make sure that you're active on the chat, and if appropriate, I'll give you a shout out. I can already see a few messages in the chat. Good evening to Stuart Jones, Sarah and Josh, Emma Whitehouse, JLR20, Matthew Hilton. Good evening to you all. As I have done in previous weeks, now football has started back up again. If there are any goals during the show, I will update you as and when they do go in. There's a few championship games playing at the minute. QPR 1, Fulham 1, Leeds 0, Luton 0, Wigan 0 and Stoke 0. And there is a Premier League game kicking off in the next 10 minutes between Brighton and Man United. First up this evening then, we will be continuing our Tamworth FC Legends series. We've heard from a number of ex-Tamworth FC players over the last few months, but tonight we'll be speaking to Ian Bennett, who played for the club from 1996 for three seasons, having 107 appearances rather, with 48 goals.
Hi Ian, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much for having me on the show. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Exactly.
So, Ian, you spent three seasons with Tamworth between 95 and 98. How did you end up signing for Tamworth and who did you play for beforehand?
Well, beforehand, I was, I was a young pro, young apprentice, YTS, at Bury Football Club. From that, they took me on as a young professional. I was always on the interim of the team, but I did get to play in the actual playoffs. And I played in an FA Cup game as well against Everton, but never ever broke through into the first team officially or properly. But I was always quite good in the reserves and scored goals. So I scored quite a few goals in the reserves and was like, got my name out there just by that really, but never ever really broke through into the first team because they had their normal strikers and that was it.
Got you. Okay. And so how did you end up signing for Tamworth then?
Signing for Tamworth? Well, I got released after about second or third year pro with Bury. And then when I come back from Greater Manchester, I just thought to myself, I was gutted that they released me. So I said to myself, I ain't kicking another football. That's what I said to myself. I ain't playing no more football. So I was just sat in my house, not doing nothing, starting a college course and what have you not. And then I had phone calls from Blues, West Brom, Coventry, all asking me to come for trials and come down to Verd, and they brought me down here. But I was that gutted. I didn't even take up nobody on their offer, ever. I didn't take up nobody. So I didn't kick a ball for like 3 years after I came back from Bury. And I just ended up doing nothing. And then I had some friends I went to school with locally. And they said, come and play for... I think it was Paget Rangers. Come and play for Paget Rangers. And I thought, bloody hell, I don't even know if I'll be able to kick a ball again. So I just went training with them. And as soon as I started training again, I just felt that vibe back again. And I just love football again. I didn't play for money. I didn't take no money. I was just playing for fun. But anyway, we played. And then I got in the team and we won the league. We won the league that year and I scored a good amount of goals and we got promotion. Was it the Bees of Holmes then?
Yeah.
Was it the Bees of Holmes there? Yeah, we got promotion into the Bees of Holmes.
Midlands. Yeah.
And Paget's never won a league or nothing like that. So everyone was buzzing as they've got promotion up into the league. And as I've got up into the league now, other teams have started to show interest. But the manager at Paget at the time, I had a really good relationship with him. You know what I mean? He just loved football, so I had a good relationship with him. So it didn't matter who was coming in. I wasn't really interested because I was showing my loyalty to the man who's kind of brushed me off and says, come and play some football for fun. So I did like it. But then the manager says to me, you know you're going to have to leave us because you're going to go and play for one of them other teams. So I goes, but I don't want to. And he says, no, you're going to have to, Benno. And then from Paget, I think I went to, was it Leicester United? I think I went to Leicester United. And then I went to Leicester United. And I went to Armitage. Do you remember Armitage?
I remember Armitage, yeah.
Yeah, I went to play for Armitage for a while. And then from Armitage, I went to Leicester. The chairman left Armitage, went to Leicester United, and he's asked me to come. So I've gone to Leicester United. I only played about 10 games for Leicester United. And then I got a phone call from Paul Hendry to come and have a meeting with him. And as soon as I met with him, I just knew you sound like you want to play the type of football that I'm interested in. And the rest is history, kind of thing.
Well, strangely, you ended up, you joined Tamworth part of the way through the 95-96 season.
Yes.
And you made your debut in a 4-2 defeat at home to Leicester United.
Got it.
You actually managed three goals that season in 11 appearances, because you did join towards the end of the season. But how do you feel that the first, well, that sort of part season went for you?
I thought the first season was a total nightmare. I tell you, I couldn't hit a barn door, even if it was bloody. I couldn't score nothing. I had chance after chance after chance. It was like my touch. And I don't know what it was. I think I've come to the Lamb. And then the fans and the closeness of the fans and everything. I don't know if it was overwhelming or what. But that's what I've kind of put it down to. But in that first half a season there, I could not get my game together. I couldn't. And I thought to myself, I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah.
The first season, I thought, I don't think I'm going to make it here. But I just like the atmosphere. I like the fans. I like the players. I like the atmosphere. But all through, even when I was not scoring, Paul Andrew just kept saying to me, you just keep doing what you're doing. You just keep doing what you're doing. It's going to come. And then we went out of pre-season. I don't think my pre-season was very good either that year. But then as soon as the season kicked off, everything just clicked into place. Everything I touched went in.
Absolutely. I mean, that second season, you hit 32 goals and Tamworth got promoted to the Southern League.
That's
Premier
right.
Division. Memorable season. Can you expand about your memories and thoughts from that season?
Oh, that season was just great. It was great. And when I say great, I'm talking all around great. The bunch of lads that we had together, you couldn't get a better bunch. You couldn't get a better squad. Whether he was in the team, whether he was out the team, it was like 100%. We just need the win. The management, how Paul and Andy bounced off each other, good cup, bad cup, that worked. Everyone was fit as a fiddle. Training, you'd love to come training. You'd love coming to training. It was like a family away from home kind of thing. I don't even know. Fans were coming up. Fans come on the coach to matches. That's how tight he was as a bunch. But the season, it was just great. It was great, all round great. I couldn't. Probably some of the that was probably one of the best memories of Gunners football. That two and a half years I had there at Tamworth were probably some of my best footballing memories that I can remember.
Just remind us, Ian, of some of the players that you played alongside in those Tamworth sides for those two and a half, three seasons.
Right, in that year there, I played against. We played with David Foy, Adrian Baddams,
yeah,
Darren Shaw, Willie Batchelor, yeah. Mitch right back,
yeah,
Johnny Howard, Tony yeah. Rowe. The strike partners I had was Smudger, Hunty. We had Lee Wilson. We had Mark Harbottle. Absolutely loads. It was just, and everybody was quality. Everybody had a certain quality. Even if you was injured and someone was coming in, you knew you'd have to fight to get your place back in the team. Yeah, it was that the competition for places was real strong. Even the young kids coming through, they were even dying to get in there. It was just great all around.
I think that second season that you had where you really kicked on, weren't we runners up to Burton Albion in the Birmingham Senior Cup?
Yes, we was. Was that the one when we played West Brom at their ground?
Yeah, in the semi. Yeah.
Yeah. That season that cup run there was great.
And it's just a shame we couldn't get over the line. And the following season as well, we lost in the Staff Senior Cup final to Staff Rangers.
Yeah, couldn't get a cup.
I just wonder how much of a disappointment to you it must be, Benno, for you to have never got a cup winner's medal while at Tamworth.
Never got one. It was gutting. It was gutting because we'd done everything else. We just wanted to win a cup and we just couldn't get a cup in that with that squad there that we had. I don't know what it was. And I'd say every time we did get to the final, we never performed to our full potential. And I'm talking, we had full, the stands and the grounds where we played at, they were packed. But we'd never, ever filled our potential in none of them finals that we got to. Like, yeah, as we played in the semis and all the qualifying rounds, we never, ever hit our peak in a final.
Such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
You played 107 times for Tamworth and you scored 48 goals. Fantastic ratio at any level of football. But do you feel that you fulfilled your potential as a footballer?
With Tamworth or in general?
No, in general.
No, I don't. In general, I feel I could have done a hell of a lot more. I think my stubbornness cut my career short, because really, if I would have taken on one of them phone calls and gone and had a look and gone and had seen what was available to me, who knows how it would have turned out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows? So no, but I don't feel I've filled my potential at all.
Well, like you said, though, you know, you were released by Bury, and it's just such a difficult place for a young lad to be when all your hopes and dreams are pinned on playing professional football. And then I think a lot of people can understand how that would really rock you. And then at some point, you would hope, obviously, you would get over that. But like you say, you didn't kick a ball for nearly 3 years and really cut out that love with football.
Exactly that. I wasn't interested in one dot, anything to do with football. I just thought to myself, this is a farce. And even because as a young kid, I always scored goals, but I never, ever was taken on by a club. And to be taken on by Bury, that was just by chance I got that opportunity, because I got a cousin who lives up there in Bury. And when I went to visit him for the summer holidays, my uncle just innocently asked me, what am I doing with my football? And I told him, I'm not doing nothing now. I've signed up for college. I didn't get taken on. Nobody came in for me. And he's took it upon himself to say, we're going down to ask for a trial. I goes, uncle, it don't work like that. He's gone, but come on, we're going to ask for a trial. He kept bugging me with it until the one day I just said, right, come on, what are we going to do? We're going to go down. He took me down, and it just so happened that they were having trials on that particular day. He took me down.
Right.
And then at the trials, I kind of shone out, and they offered me a contract there and there. Interesting.
It's a heck of a story, you know. It really is, isn't it? I feel bad for you now talking to you, because obviously I didn't know all this when you played for Tamworth. And looking back now, you think, yeah, I mean, it must be a disappointment that you didn't take up one of those offers. But then again, you know, on the flip side, you went on to play for Tamworth and had three great seasons with us, really.
Three great memories. Yeah.
Back in the day, it was commonplace. Not so much nowadays, but back in the day, it was commonplace for us to have a fancy dress away day, usually at the end of the season. Do you have any particular memories, Benno, of these from your time at Tamworth? I can think of a few myself, but I'll let you expand.
Right. The only one that I can think of and remember is when they had the three strikers. I don't know what it was, but they had this, I think they had us dressed as women. I don't know how it came about. I think they made us put on a wig. I'm not even sure whether they made us put on a skirt. But for that one fancy dress, yes, I'm calling out Smudger and I'm calling out Hunty. We had to put on a wig and we had to put on a skirt. But I don't know what the storyline was behind it or what we was doing.
I would imagine that Henry Farrington and Russ Moore maybe have a part to play in there somewhere as well.
No, I would say so too.
Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant times. I remember being on the pitch at Sutton Coldfield dressed as a Spice Girl in a nice little two-piece I was wearing.
I
was the mask away at Buckingham with a suit and then the actual mask on, and the film had only been out a couple of years then as well, so showing my age now.
Okay. Yeah, no, I remember all them times, some great, great memories, some great times.
Absolutely. So, after being such a fan's favourite at Tamworth, your time with us came to an end in 98. And what were the circumstances around that, Benno?
It was around... Well, when we got promotion, obviously, you're going to look to expand your squad. And I just didn't feel like I got my full run out in the new season in the higher league for some reason. And it just filtered out from there. I weren't playing enough games. And I just thought I need to be playing more football. And that's just how I felt at the time. And we just couldn't come to an arrangement to seal anything. Because I just wasn't playing enough. After scoring, having such a good season, scoring the goals, being leading scorer and getting us to that point, and then going up to the higher division and then starting a sub, he just started off on a bad foot.
Yeah, so you were frustrated because you wanted to kick on, having had such a great season the season before, but you just felt that your chances were limited. And so where did you go?
From Tamworth. Bloody hell. Such a long time ago. I've kind of cancelled everything. All I can remember is bloody Tamworth, but I think...
Yeah, I was just going to say, nothing compares to your time at Tamworth.
I think I went to Redditch. I think I went to play for Redditch United.
At the Valley.
Yeah, I think I went down to Redditch to play for them down there. But after I left there, nothing could compare. And then it just kind of filtered out after that, you know, playing a few games there. And it just wasn't the same atmosphere, nothing. So I just knocked it on the head after a while.
Do you still keep in touch with any of the lads from that era? And do you ever come back to the Lamb to watch?
I have not been back to the Lamb to watch. I'm supposed to have come back to the Lamb to watch. And it's me that's made that not happen. I do keep in touch. I keep in touch with Smudger. I've spoke with Willie. I've spoke with Foyzy. I've spoke with Badhams. But we do need to have a link up, and we all do need to come back down and show our respects and come and watch, especially now Smudger's manager. We should all be really coming back and giving him a bit of support. And that is what I'm planning to do once all this COVID's over and done with.
Maybe not just support, but a bit of stick as well, eh?
100%. Oh, God, yeah.
No, it's a reoccurring theme, actually, as I'm going through the weeks doing these interviews, that you know, you guys are all saying the same thing, really. You know, you look back and you think, yeah, do you know what? I should have gone down. I should have made an effort. But we can all say that. But it would be absolutely brilliant to see you guys back down the Lamb.
Definitely, sure, because we was all made to feel so special down there. We should be coming back down there and showing our face, you know what I mean, and giving our support to whatever's going on down there, really. Yeah, we can't do it all the time, but occasionally just get ourselves down there and get our face in the place kind of thing.
Absolutely. Can I just finish off, really, Benno? Is there anything that you would like to say to the fans listening to this podcast?
To the fans, well, in all my football time, I've never had a set of fans who've made me feel so special playing football. So I can only say, I just want to say thank you to them. If I never got a chance to say it before, thank you for them and the time that I had at Tamworth. And I just want them all to get totally behind Smudge and what he's doing right now at the club, because how great he's doing. You knew what type of person he was anyway playing with him. But to see him now doing what he's doing, I feel proud to know that this is what he's doing, you know what I mean? And it's just great to hear the results, how it's going, how he's got the players buzzing, which you'd never doubt anyway, but it's just good to hear. And I'd just like the fans to totally get behind him.
Yeah, as I've already said on other interviews as well, what Smudge has done, along with Andrew Danlishan as well, and Tom Bailey, who's coming as head of senior football, is he's created that atmosphere that was from the era that you were at the club, Benno.
Okay.
That's so important. We'd lost it as well. We'd lost our way a little bit, but we've got that vibe back now, and that connection really between the fans and the players is really growing again.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. Yep, so I've definitely been coming down and cheering him on a couple of times. He says to me, Ben, I'll get down here. But I just haven't made it yet, but I will do. I will definitely will do.
you better make sure it happens. And I'm sure there'll be plenty willing to greet you at the gates when it does. So thank you very much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. And as always, when I do these interviews, a great insight as well. And hopefully we'll see you soon at the LAM.
Definitely. Thank you very much for having me as well. It was a pleasure.
And a huge thank you to Ian Bennett for that interview. It was greatly appreciated and an interesting insight, actually, to football between 1996 for the three seasons that followed that. As always, then, before we continue, I'm just going to quickly go through the different things which Lambs Media are currently doing and will continue to do over the next few months while there is no football. If there's any links that you need, I've already posted them in the chat. The quarantine quiz went live yesterday based on Atherstone Town. Last week we went with Nuneaton Borough, and this week's theme is Atherstone Town, so you can get involved with the quiz by clicking on the link in the chat. As well as these podcasts on a Tuesday night at 8 p.m. You can catch up on any previous episodes that you might have missed through Spotify, Podbean or Apple Podcasts by searching Lambs Media. Alongside that, I can also now announce that later this evening, following this podcast at 9 p.m, there'll be a club update on our YouTube channel and shared across our website and social media platforms. And General Manager Rich Wassell is joining me next to tell us a bit more about that. But first, let's recap on the news that we've had so far from the club this week. In a big week, we began by announcing two departures. Rhys Honez and Greg Casaboni have now left the club, moving to play for league rivals Stratford Town and Colville Town. We've also had some key news on the club's development. The Premier League Stadium Improvement Development Fund have granted the club with over £70,000 towards our new floodlight project, in which four state-of-the-art LED columns will replace the existing nine, and that's expected to be completed in time for the new season. Also, Ryan Hamilton has been appointed the new Boys and Girls Academy manager. And finally, this morning, it has been confirmed that Andy, Gary and Tom will continue to manage the first team duties into next season, with some very exciting news to follow in the coming days.
Joining me next is General Manager Rich Wassell to tell us more. Thanks for joining me, Rich. I hope you're keeping well.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. We spoke a few weeks back at sort of the height of the pandemic a number of weeks ago, and everything was very much up in the air in terms of football. A few months down the line, are we getting any closer to some information on next season, when and how that will start and run at our level?
Not really, to be honest, mate. Every league that we sort of feature in, from first team down to Arrogate, that they're planning to start as normal, whatever that sort of looks like. We're still unsure. Obviously, the Southern League starting in August, I think it'll be closer to, especially with what's going on currently in Leicester, with them going back down into lockdown and everything else like that. The Southern League sent last week, basically asking could function with a reduced crowd, or could they open, or without the clubhouse being open. So they're gathering information, but in terms of when it will actually start, we're still unsure with that.
Yeah, so just sort of testing the water and just finding out bits of information at the minute then. So every club has been hit differently by the pandemic. I know you mentioned in our previous interview that all of the bookings of the 3G pitch had been cancelled till further notice, but things are certainly looking back on the up now, with football being allowed to recommence in groups of six, like training, as long as they keep 2 metres away and things like that.
Yes and no. So there's certain aspects of the game that you can do where you can still maintain a 2 metre distance. Obviously getting groups in, doing 1v1s all the way through to games is obviously still off the cards at the moment. So we have got some people back in small group sessions or on a one-to-one basis. But that's it at the moment. We've there's a lot going on behind the scenes, which obviously the fans won't know about, in terms of the academy, the scholarship program, and the club as a whole. And we've sort of used this time as a bit of a breaking point sort of thing, where we've made the decision that we're going to go completely exclusive in terms of the pitch hire moving forwards with the growth of the club and the academy and everything else. We've decided that we're going to make it solely for Tamworth Football Club's usage. We'll utilise the additional time for extra training sessions for the academy, which will hopefully benefit the first team moving forwards in years to come.
Interesting stuff, actually. So, have the academy come back to do training now?
So, the academy are due back the week commencing the 20th of July. Like I said, we've got a few of the older age groups in doing small group sessions where we can still maintain a safe distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, we're just playing off government guidelines at the moment and going from there, really. Obviously, if it gets pushed back again, then we'll just evaluate it again. But we're hoping to have everyone back in as of the 20th of July.
Great stuff. And I mean, in regards to the first team, I'm sure a lot has been going on in the background over the last couple of months in regards to putting a team together for next season, whenever that may start. But we can expect a club announcement later today and then some more information in the coming days, I believe.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on. And I know some of our fans already know the facts that we can't officially sign anyone until the 1st of July. So, yes, there's a lot of clubs announcing players, but everything's just almost like a verbal commitment rather than anything else at the moment. So we've said, look, we'll make all the official announcements once we can do it all properly. So there will be an announcement going out after this podcast, which will be from Smudge and Andrew's interview. And then as of tomorrow morning, we'll start announcing players that have committed for the new season.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And I'm sure many fans will certainly be looking forward to that. And some other news in the last couple of days about the club's new floodlights, which are set to be installed very soon, which is excellent for the club's sort of carbon footprint and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, massive news in terms of your carbon footprint and the neighbours and everything else like that, and doing our bit for the environment. But it's another statement that the club are making. We're wanting to push forwards. We want to develop, we want to grow, and this is just part of the infrastructure behind that as to how we're going to do that.
Excellent stuff. Anything else to add then, Rich, before we finish up?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be a very busy week or so with player announcements from first team, ladies team, and that side of things. And hopefully we can have a chat in a couple of weeks when the academy and the scholarship programme and that are all back in, and we sort of know a little bit more as to when seasons will start.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thank you very much for talking to me, Richard. Appreciate it, mate. See you soon.
No worries, mate. Thank you. See you later.
Just a quick recap there then from what Rich has said, that the club announcement is set to be made very shortly at 9 p.m. on our YouTube channel with potentially a little bit of player news. And also then throughout the next couple of days as we go into July, there will then be subsequent updates on both the first team and the ladies team, the first men's team and the first ladies team rather. Also, tonight's show is coming to a close at this earlier time due to that announcement at 9 o'clock on our YouTube channel. I do hope that everyone listening has enjoyed this week's podcast. A very big week for Tamworth Football Club, and we will be here to talk all about it this time next week. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth Football Club, thank you very much for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you next week.